Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Full Coverage, a podcast by beauty lovers for beauty lovers. And we are your hosts, professional makeup artist Harriet Hadfield.
It's been too long.
It has been too long, far too long. And myself, the unprofessional beauty lover, Lindsay Kelk. I'm so excited to be back. We're breaking
I'm very hiatus. Excited. We've broken hiatus.
Broken hiatus. We've smashed it. It's smashed been smashed. It. It's been broken.
Woofed.
No, I'm looking at Harry.
I know.
We feel like we should say we're recording this via Zoom.
So we'll see what happens.
Yes, so please bear with us technology-wise, and please bear with us if either of us just burst into tears at any point because we haven't seen each other in 3 months.
Yeah.
It's mental. I haven't seen you since March.
No, we've just done like 40 minutes talking. Zoom's probably going to cut us off in a minute and go, you only get 40 minutes.
Mate, I bought an account. I paid for an account. I say I'm professional beauty lover. The reality is.
We all know you're really the professional and I'm the unprofessional.
Let's just say marginally more professional than before. That's like all I'm prepared to admit. Right, before we get into this, I think we're just going to say it straight up, right? Like, this episode is not a regular episode. This episode we are making for a reason.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've already read the description of what the show is, so you already know. And I'm sure you've looked out your window or at your phone or at the news at some point in the last couple
of days. Hopefully you have.
Hopefully you have. And hopefully you're aware of what's going on in the world and what's going on in the world are lots of things. But what we're going to address today is racial inequality. Obviously, we're not going to solve racial inequality in the next 40 minutes. But what we are going to do is address injustice and inequality in the beauty industry. Yeah. And we're going to celebrate some amazing Black-owned brands.
We can't wait, right?
We can't wait. And we're going to talk about how we have interacted with or failed to interact with.
Yeah.
And what our experiences have been with Black-owned brands in the beauty industry. Because we've all got work to do. And we're going to put our hands up. And we've spent a couple of weeks talking about this. And what we feel like we can do. What we feel like we could have done. And how we improve going forwards. How we do better.
Yeah. That's it. I think action, not words. Me and Lindsay both said it's, you know, for both of us, and I'm sure for a lot of people in the industry, it's about change is something that takes time and has to have consistency behind it. It has to have people to continue to talk about it. I like echoing what people have said, you know, this is a movement, not a moment. I mean,
yeah.
You know, so it's going to take a lot, and, you know, we all have to do our bit, ourselves included.
Yeah, it's a marathon, not a sprint, for sure. And yeah, me and Harry have been talking about this, and I went back and looked at stuff, and full disclosure, because that's what we're all about, like transparency and
no BS here, guys.
Like, my first reaction, which I know like so many people, was just to be super defensive and say, oh, I've tried really hard, and then had to sit with that and say, have you tried that hard? Like, ultimately, I've been in beauty one way or another for like 17 years, and I, from a PR side, from a journalist side, from a podcast side, from a blogging side, and I just, the number of people who I have met on that journey who do not look like me, so tiny. All the PRs I work with look like me, all of the other bloggers when I started looked like me, a lot of the brand owners, most of the brand owners look like me. And then when you get totally up to the top of the food chain, more often than not, it was like a middle-aged white man.
Yeah.
It made even less sense to me, but I never questioned it. I was just like,
it just became the norm, which is,
it just became how it is. And I bought into a lot of the stories I was told, which was that selling diverse ranges of products didn't sell.
It's like, we've heard that so many times.
Like, oh, you can't, we don't sell darkest colors because they don't sell. It's like, well, they don't sell if they don't exist.
Yeah.
And we now know from the last couple of years of seeing the improvements that we have seen that they do sell, and that it's just not true. And then I was looking at other reasons why, having spent some time the last couple of weeks educating myself on the brands that are out there and thinking, well, why didn't I try this brand before? And I think there was absolutely internalized prejudice on my part where I was looking at brands created by women of color and thinking, well, that's not for me. Like, that's not, that's not for me to use. That's been made for someone else to use. And that's, that is internalized racism. That's internalized prejudice. I discounted something because I just, oh, that doesn't look like me. I shouldn't use it. But then I turned it around and was like, if I'm a Black woman and I saw everything in the whole world that has a white woman's face on it, like, how would that feel? That's, and that's really hard. And then I had to sit and say, wait, you, that's not cool. What you're doing there saying, that's not for me, I'm not going to talk about it, is not cool.
Yeah.
And also, like, we, by and large, for full coverage, talk about brands that get sent to us, because obviously that's how we report news, that's how we review stuff, is because we get sent products. And
especially with new news,
especially with new news, and especially with when we did like roundups of big products coming out and stuff. But of course the brands that can send you stuff tend to be brands with money behind them, big corporate money behind them, PR agencies and stuff. And it's much, much harder for Black owned brands to get that kind of funding, to get that kind of visibility. So when I actually looked at my version of, oh, but I've tried really hard, it's like, you, I might have in my own mind tried quite hard. But I could have tried so much harder because I wasn't accounting for the extra hurdles that were put in front of Black-owned brands and brands owned by women of colour and brands basically that aren't owned by middle-aged white men. When you follow the money all the way back up to the top, there were so many more hurdles. It was like you're asking people to start a race when half of the race is already at the finish line. So that's what we're trying to correct today, for me, from my perspective. That's speaking entirely for myself, not putting words in.
No, I mean, I totally agree. I think there's lots of things I've kind of spoken about this quite a bit on my Instagram. And I think for me, the biggest thing now is having conversations, whether that's with students taking my course, whether that's colleagues, friends, and, you know, sort of making myself educated, but also looking at my own biases, my own, like you said, kind of internalized prejudice, and also things that I'd accepted as, I guess things I had accepted, period, that I shouldn't have ever accepted. I think that's the really sad reality, is holding myself accountable to things, whether it was, for me, I definitely think in my workplace, I spoke on Instagram how, you know, I've been on campaigns for foundation brands where perhaps they're working on the darker shades, but they're not they're yet. So they're like, oh, they're coming. Can you just do them with your own, you know, your own foundations, whatever? And, you know, I should have asked questions. I could have asked questions. That's the thing. I think, you know, sometimes you have to say, we can't change what we haven't done, but we can change what we do now. And that's what's really important. And for me, I think the most important thing going forward is constantly kind of questioning your white privilege and actually really recognizing it and seeing it. And, you know, looking at the actions that you can take, because I don't think it has, you know, if you don't have any money to donate, there's lots of ways, lots of resources you can use. You can sign petitions. There's lots of things different people can do to continue this conversation and make sure, you know, this is a revolution, really. I think it's even more than, you know, a movement, it's a revolution. And I think especially we both live in America. So I think, you know, I also wonder, has it been even more, what's the word? I think now living in America, like, you see it in a different way as well. Like, I think there's definitely still prejudices in the UK, of course. But here as well, I think it's like seeing it on that really large scale that I do feel like an idiot. I'm like, why did I not see it before? Or what is it that, you know, what made me accept it? And that was something that I don't think I'd even realized I'd done until, you know, like you said, you take time to educate yourself and just sit with the uncomfort of actually, you know, there's been times where I've even considered like speaking up about things like this. And I've thought, oh, but I don't want to look like it's white saviorism, or like, and I've had that keep feeling of like, oh, if I say this, then people are going to think, well, what do you know? Like, you have no idea. But even that ultimately is privilege, because it's me worrying about how I would look.
And you get the choice. Talked about this. Me and Jeff have been talking about this constantly. It's like, I have the choice to say, oh, I feel crappy today, so I'm not going to look at the news, and ultimately never see that through. But like, it is my choice and my privilege to be able to say, I don't want to deal with this today. And that's the other thing for people that have an issue with the term white privilege. And it's not saying that you are privileged because you are white. It's saying that you have never had issues because of the color of your skin. That's all it is. It's not saying you don't have your own fight. It's not saying that you don't have a difficult life or horrible things have happened. It's just to say that the color of your skin is not one of the things that has been a problem. That's all it is. Yeah. And I don't see there's really any way to dispute that. But ultimately, this episode is a celebration episode. This is us taking accountability and saying we're going to try harder in the future to make sure everyone gets a fair shot. When they have a great product is a great product, and we should be telling you about it, and they shouldn't have to come to us with it. We should be able to find it and tell you all about it. So that's what today is. And it is not in any way a comprehensive list. And that was one of the things when I started doing real research.
Yeah.
I think in my, again, it's another lie that I had bought into from the industry, which is like, well, there aren't that many black owned brands anyway. And you know, they're either very, very high end. There's like one super high end and then like maybe one super low end, and that's all there is. And I'm like, actually, it turns out there are lots and lots and lots.
Well, and this is the uncomfort, I think, isn't it? Is opening our eyes and being like, it was there all along. It was just our privilege to not need to go and find them. And also, I, you know, I apologize for the disservice we've done to, you know, our following who are black or
absolutely
of color, who you know, we haven't really, not properly in the way we could have served you. So for that I do apologize, and you know, I am taking on so much board on board. And you know, I've said this to my Instagram following, to you know, YouTube viewers, like, hold us accountable. You know, I think that's the difference, is it doesn't matter what we say right now, what we do right now. What matters is what's happening a year from now, 10 years from now. So
it's one thing to call a brand for not having enough shades, it's another thing for us to go and find the brand that does have the shades.
Yes, you know, and continue to do that.
Got to do both. You can't do one and then you don't get a prize for doing the bare minimum.
Yeah.
So, like, what we're going to do is earn your trust back and share some of these awesome products, and definitely make a point of sharing them in future, because quite frankly, I have replaced quite a lot of my stuff.
I've done a lot of shopping, Lindsay.
And also, there were some brands that I am already using all the time, but I didn't even know were black-owned brands, which is so...
Yeah, that's... Up. I know.
Now I'm like, well, let's shout about him because they're brilliant.
Yep.
And there are so many. We've got so many, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And we're going to have even more by our live episode, which was...
I know, because some still haven't arrived. I mean, I've been... I feel like I've ordered some and then they've been so good that I'm like, I'm doing a second order.
I love buying things. This is the best. So what have you got? What have you got to start with?
Where do I start? Okay, so I'm going to start with a brand called Mented. So I have three lipsticks. Now, it's fair to say I've brought quite a mix of products. So some are definitely going to go straight into my pro kit for certain clients. And when I'm working with models, and then some, I'm not going to lie, were for me. I was just like, I want it. And I think that's the other thing that I want to say is, like you touched on, Lindsay, that I think there's kind of maybe one of the reasons, you know, selfishly and naively, that maybe we haven't, not putting words in your mouth, but you know, maybe we haven't looked into brands for women of color, is that, you know, I kind of presumed, I've kind of been so ignorant not to realize that they do full shade ranges too. You know, we kind of look at Fenty and brands like that. And I think looking at some of these brands, I had just thought, oh, I just presumed stupidly that it was just a darker skin.
Full madness. How is it even possible that I'm looking at Pat McGrath and I'm looking at Fenty?
Yeah, same here.
This is for me. And I know that because they have extraordinarily expensive PR and marketing campaigns behind them to convince me that it's for me. I shouldn't need convincing.
No,
but they spent all that time and money convincing it was me, and then I look at a brand that we're going to talk about later, like Juvia's Place, where I was like, wait, is that for me? I'm not sure. It has a lot of dark skin models in its advertising and it's very bright colors, and I was like, oh my god, Lindsay, you actual monster. Like, look at their shade ranges, look at what's available. I should not need $1 billion advertising campaign.
And I'm the same. I'm guilty of not doing the research. But Mented is the first one I'm going to start with, and I have to say their nude lipsticks genuinely is like a nude for everyone. And I think we've heard so many brands, you know, there's so many jargon and terminology that I think any beauty content creator is now really having to kind of unpack and say, hold on a second, we've been saying this for too long. We can't use words like universally flattering suits everyone unless that genuinely does mean everyone and every skin tone. So these three were for my kit, I would say, although I have been wearing on myself actually, brand nude. So these are semi-matte lipsticks, and it's funny because I know Lindsay's on Zoom, I'm like, I can show you.
I
can take pictures. There will be pictures of like hauls
all
and stuff.
These products will be posting on
Instagram. Is the I am a huge lover of if that's the right word. That sounds a little bit erotic.
When do we not sound a little bit erotic?
I'm a huge fan. That's a nicer word, slightly less creepy. Or is it? I'm a huge fan of Nima Tang on YouTube. So she does amazing tutorials. She does them all on herself, but oh my goodness, like her recommendations are on point, really, really beautiful. And I think I've brought like a lot of recommendations from her. So she wears this lipstick and it's the shade Minted Number 5. And it's such a good nude, especially if you are a much darker skin tone and you are kind of like towards the deepest end of the foundation range.
Yeah.
And this is fabulous. It really is still a nude that kind of gives light to the lips, but doesn't look ashy, doesn't look gray. So I picked up three of those lipsticks all within that same kind of category of being like a nude for everyone. Yeah. And I love them. The quality is beautiful. I've tried it on me, so I've kind of been able to feel the texture, very comfortable. And it really is a nude for everyone.
Which is all we ask.
Like how could you have demanded, Lindsay? We should have.
It's crazy. It's really crazy. I just feel like someone's just slapped me in the face with a kipper and suddenly it all makes so much sense and I just feel so stupid. But I'm going to continue to feel stupid until I've
We will own our stupidity and we hold our hands up and, you know, we're going to do better.
Yeah, we're going to do better. One brand that I really, really, really want to highlight because it's a brand I found out about earlier this year. God, it feels impossible. It was like anything that happened pre-March was like with the dinosaurs. It was that long ago.
Yeah.
But I do feel like it was either end of last year or beginning of this year, but it was Ace Beauty, I've got a couple of their palettes here and I've got a couple more on order now. And we have talked about them before on the pod, I think briefly.
Yeah, amazing pigments.
They've got to have a spotlight because they are incredible. It's eyeshadow palettes. They have a lot of other stuff. I've heard great things about their lipsticks. I haven't got those yet. But these palettes are so stunning. The pigment is so rich and buttery. It doesn't drop. The shimmers and the metallics go on like liquid. They look incredible. The mattes aren't patchy. They blend out. I've
talked about strong hues.
Super strong, very bright, genuinely, like exactly how it reads very true. So the pigment in the pan is what you see on your skin. Like there's a neon lime in the Flare palette called Sherbet, and it's insane. And against darker skins, that is going to look killer.
Yeah, the red in that as well, the really, really bright poppy red is perfection. It's really good.
Oh, yeah, that is the saffron shade. She says, looking at it immediately and not knowing it off by heart. But and there's so many like shiny, silvery, taupey shades that are just such my cup of tea, like nude dip shades. Everyone knows my town. But they're so beautiful and it's really affordable as a brand. And if to give a comparison, which will either be problematic or very helpful, I would 100% compare them to a Jeffree Star palette without exception, without even hesitating. I would say, is this as good? Yes, it's absolutely as good. Yeah. And I would recommend them to everyone. They're so gorgeous.
I think we discovered them at Indie Beauty Expo, didn't we? Introduction from Indie Beauty Expo.
So they're an indie brand too, which is even better.
Yes.
But some of the girls in the Facebook group have been playing around with these the last couple of weeks, I've noticed as well, and doing some stunning looks. It's just so much pigment, but they blend so beautifully. It's not like when you put on something that's super intense pigment and then it's just there on your face. Like you can still blend it. And I am not a talented eye makeup artist. For all of my skills, I'm
are, Lindsay. Come on.
But I can do like two shades and then I've got to stop. Like it's like, I know I'm not.
Well, I disagree.
But know my limits. I remember that live we did a few weeks ago where I came out looking like Aunt Sally. But still, like these are just so foolproof and beautiful, and I love them.
Love them. Okay, so another one for me is a brand called Colored Rain. So this one is my day one. And it's funny, I'm like, it feels like show and tell, Lindsay. Here's one. So this was a highlighter and blush duo. Huge pans. I mean,
massive. It's like the size of your face.
Yeah, this is like a lot of product for, I think this was half price as well, or it was definitely on offer. So I think I paid about $15 for this. So this is definitely kind of like, I'd say like the mid price point. But yeah, the colors of these, they had lots of really lovely things, but this I picked up. This was another Nima Tang recommendation. I'm not going to lie, I'm slightly stalking her. But just a really, really beautiful shade. It's a really nice, deep, plummy shade. To be honest, these are the kind of shades I would wear in winter as well. Yeah, really. The highlighter is almost like a rose and a peach mixed together. So it, in some lights, it looks more pinky. In other lights, it looks more a slight golden bronze. But really beautiful, very buttery, huge pans, lots of low products from them. But they had, I think they had like three or four of these duos. And again, because you have so much product, I feel like, you know, you could double that up as eyeshadow as well.
Yeah, that would be really pretty as eyeshadow. Yeah. Be a really pretty, smoky, burgundy-ish.
Right. Yeah.
Just so much. I'm like trying to choose a thing that's in front of me.
I know, I'm a bit like, feels like Christmas.
I'm like, I know, I'm like, have a lovely time. So this is a brand that is really easily accessible, and you can buy it, we can get it in drugstores anywhere. I believe it's fairly easy to get in the UK as well, which is Sheer Moisture. Sheer Moisture was black created and still has a black CEO, the guy, one of the original creators. If my research is correct, please correct me if it isn't, because my research is hampered by my ability to think right now. But it was a family created and owned, and then they sold the brand to Unilever. I can't even talk anymore. Unilever. But the guy, the founder, is still the CEO and in charge of the brand, which is awesome, because more black CEOs as well, please. More seats at the table for everybody. I love this brand in general. I always like the shampoos are great, the shower gels are great. That's a really nice sort of mid-tier drugstore brand where it's not super, super pricey, but it still feels like a bit of a treat instead of just buying like bargain basement, whatever. Jeff's gone dead mad on bar soap. So Jeff, nothing to do with the environment, just randomly decided he was like, he's 48 now, he's got to start using bar soap. So Jeff loves a bar soap, and I went to CVS ages ago and just bought all the bar soap I could find because we were stocking up on stuff. Not hoarding toilet roll, but I did hoard bar soap because we were washing our hands a lot and it felt relevant. And this is one of the ones I got, was the Sheer Moisture Coconut and Cactus Water Quench and Refresh Bar Soap with Blue Agave for dehydrated skin. It's a lot. Nice. It's a lot of words that it doesn't need.
That's a big bar of soap as
it's
well.
It's massive. It's massive. And it was like half of my face. Yeah. And it was like $5 or something. But it is one of the greatest smells I have ever smelled in as long as I have been alive.
Nice.
It is so good. Jeff had opened it and put it in the shower, and I took it out to use it, and then had to like get out the shower and be like, what is this?
What did you use?
So good, because we need to get more of it. And he was like, oh, I don't know what it is. It's just the blue one. I'm like, the blue one doesn't help. And I actually went through the bin to find, not the outside bin, but the inside. To find the packaging.
I
will rummage. I draw a line somewhere. You've got to draw a line. I went through the bin to find the packaging for this because it smells so good. It's like very gender neutral.
Yeah.
Masculine, like, almost like a sexy pears.
Like, you know, yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Right? It's got a classic feel to it.
Like, yeah, very clean, very fresh, but with like that slightly classic masculine edge to it.
Yeah.
It's so good. I immediately went out and bought the shower gel and the body scrub. I've got the body lotion on order. It's all I want to smell. I love it so much. I will literally sit in the bath being like, it's not right.
It's so good.
It's not healthy. But I love it. It's just like, I've bought more of them. As you can see, I'm showing Harry the wrapped bar because I literally went to CVS and was like, where are they?
I love it. You've got backups.
Oh God, it just smells so good, and it's soap. Little things right now. It's the little things that get
us through. It's all the little things. Whatever it takes to get you through.
But I really love it. And definitely, if you're looking for an affordable treat, that is a bar of soap for you.
Okay, well, I will be checking that out. My next one is a makeup artist brand. This is by Danessa Myrick. She is a fantastic makeup artist. She's all about skin, so we love that. Now, her products, I have used some of her eye products. Well, so basically, the one that for me is the one that really excites me and is like a staple in my pro kit, which I don't know why I haven't mentioned it before. Again, my bad. Is Danessa Myrick's Color Fix Matte. So these are, they come in little squeezy tubes. And these are fantastic because they are a universal product in the sense of where you can use them. So you can use these on eyes, you can use them on cheeks, you can use them on lips. They are very user friendly. Mm-hmm. They're all mattes, but some have metallic finishes, some have, but they all dry down to like a matte basically. Okay. They are a liquid. The tiniest bit of this goes such a long way. Like, I'm not joking. I think if you have really oily skin, these are great because they definitely really lock down in place and do not budge. You can use them as like primers or kind of like a cheek stain and then kind of layer with other products on top. If I had two recommendations that I think are just gorgeous, again, I think on every skin tone, these would look amazing, is Rustic. Rustic is a really beautiful terracotta. And then Venus is one of their foiled ones, which has this kind of duochrome, kind of like pink gold. Yeah, it's like a dusky pink, though.
Gold flip to it.
And it's so beautiful. I think the best way to apply them is to like start with a brush and then kind of pack with your finger where you want the most intensity. They definitely do dry down quite quickly, so you don't get a lot of playtime, but I think that's why they're good in terms of the longevity. They really lock into place. And then another product she does that I love is her glaze. So this is just a clear glaze, but again, she's formulated it so you can use it on lips, cheeks, eyes. And I really love that because as a pro makeup artist, there are a lot of gloss products that sometimes on the eyes have like menthol in, and they can't be used universally. No. So this one is actually formulated for everywhere. Again, if you layer that over either of those two colors, it looks gorgeous. And within the Colourfix ranges, she has amazing neutrals. She has new tones for every skin tone, but she also has like electric blues, like kind of peacock greens, like really, really fabulous colors, like reds, oranges, neon pinks. So there's a lot to choose from. And I'm going to apologize because once you start, you won't stop.
So I know.
They're so good.
It's already stinging. No, I love Danessa. I feel like I came across her at Benefit ages ago. She's director of product at Benefit.
She does a lot of consulting, I think, with brands.
And at the makeup show as well. She works with the makeup show. And the first product of hers, I think, I can't remember what the name was, but it was full sexy robot. It was, she loves a sparkle. She loves a sparkle.
Well, and she loves the dewy skin. She does like a lot of her dewy products you can layer really well as well. So they're kind of like, I know that if you live in LA, you can get some of her products, I think, in Nigel's or some of the trade stores, which is where I first discovered them. But then the more I've spoke with other makeup artists, they are like a makeup artist staple.
Yeah, she's a good one. She's a good one.
We love them.
We do. I've got a body care brand, which I really, really love. I've been using a couple of these products, actually. I got these PR. These were PR, full disclosure, like a couple of months ago. And I've been using them. And again, didn't know it was a Black-owned brand. My bad. But they're just awesome products. So ultimately, that's what they were selling them as they should. And it's a brand called Plant Apothecary.
I like the packaging.
It's very cool. Like again, very modern,
very all cool.
Recyclable. It's got the little twist up squeezy.
Oh, I love that. I love a nozzle.
Yeah, and this is the body wash. Loves a nozzle. And it's 100% natural, made with organic oils, and it's geranium and peppermint. So for like morning times.
That sounds really nice.
That's a lovely one. It's called the Start Happy Super Concentrated Body Wash. If you've got a squidgy, I don't know what they're called, a body puff, but you know the thing.
Loofah. Like, is it a loofah?
Yeah, I don't know, because a loofah is like a real thing, isn't it? Like it's.
Or is a loofah what you clean the toilet with?
A loofah you clean yourself with, but it's like a like a harder sponge. But there could be a loofah, could be a catch-all.
I know what you mean, though. I'm with you.
It's like an orange, a bag of orange netting that's made into a body puff.
Yes, I do know what you mean.
Everyone knows what it is. You get it in your Christmas set with your Body Shop white musk. Yeah. Everyone knows what it is.
It's so true.
It's a proper name, a body puff. But if you squeeze a tiny little bit on that, you are good to go.
Okay, nice.
Also got the face wash in aloe and lemongrass, and that is like
nice.
Oh, I'm doing Smell-O-Vision. It's insane. It's very much like lemongrass led, and it smells incredible. There's nice a spritz fresh. As well that I love. I haven't got it with me because it is in my handbag. but it's all really, really lovely, and it's all, you know, all those good things that we want to hear these days, like clean and natural and green.
Yes.
But whatever, you know, I don't hold a lot of truck with that because it doesn't necessarily mean everything you want it to mean, but they are really, really lovely products. And it's just, it looks really cool, and it's going to look nice on your shelf. and yes. you can use it. And if you're quarantining with a partner, you can both use it.
You can both use it.
Unlike some people's partners who have started using their very expensive products.
Well, we all know about testing. Dave's track record, so it doesn't bode
just
well.
Just gone with the exact same product. he has also taken to using the Procollagen Marine Cream, which
yeah.
did not ask. Anyway, moving on about why my impending divorce. Joking, not divorcing him because of the Marine Cream. Carry on.
Okay, so my next one is a brand called Omar. It's spelled U-O-M-A. This is a brand that, again, very, very inclusive. I think their foundation comes in 51 shades. So their Say What foundation is the weightless soft matte. This is their hydrating foundation. So I quite like that it's kind of a hydrating matte foundation. I brought some of these for my pro kit and I liked it so much I've ordered some more. The tones in these are nice and easy to read. They have a really good foundation checker on there. So you can basically like shade match yourself online. And from what I've read, I watch a lot of reviews of people buying this and they were all saying the system online was pretty accurate. I like this as well because once you find like the category you're in, it is very much like a T2N or a T2W. So you have your kind of warms, your neutrals. And as a makeup artist, I love that. I kind of can't stand it when everything's like named after a nut or something like that. I get a bit like, I like it just to be easy. Yeah.
We're not drinks at Starbucks.
No, exactly. Tell me if it's, you know, neutral. I just need to know what I need to know.
Yeah.
And the reason I mentioned this foundation is because, again, this is a great one if you are looking to get a lot of things that are important to you covered. So things like it's cruelty-free, it's vegan, it's talc-free, it's paraben-free, it's dermatologically tested. So I think, again, it's nice as well. This one is vegan and cruelty-free. Yeah. The shade range is amazing. But the other thing that I, dare I say, I'm even more excited about is these, Lindsay. Show a vision. These are their contour highlight sticks, which at the time of purchase were half price. So I think these are about $15 each. And I want to show you the deepest one because one complaint I have from models is that they can never find contour products that are deep enough.
Yeah.
So in the past, I have been known even to mix things like I have like a Makeup Forever mixing wheel that I could mix things into foundations, like if I wanted to make it like a deep, deep contour. But this color is so incredible, fully catering to every woman's skin tone. And also the highlighters are equally amazing because, again, I think sometimes there's this feeling that a highlighter is just going to be like golden pink for everyone. Yeah. And these really reflect the depth of someone's skin tone beautifully, like as a highlighter on a really, really deep dark skin tone.
Beautiful.
This is so, so pretty. And the main reason I love this as well, again, you know, I love a cream, but these are a gleam. They're not a shimmer. They're not pearly. They're not, there's no glitter in it. They are very expensive looking on the skin. And I've even been wearing, so the deepest one I have is Black Pearl. I brought Black Pearl. I brought Brown Sugar, which is the second darkest. Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
And then Honey and Bronze Venus. And Honey, the highlight on me, I can wear and it looks so pretty. Like, in fact, the contour I've actually used as a bronze. And I like things like this as well on the eye when I'm doing like lazy holiday makeup. Yeah, they're quite really good as like a multi-purpose stick. So,
so comparable to fan of that. Board, like very
easy. Yeah, literally, Lindsay. I was just going to say.
With a far more expansive shade range.
Much more expansive. And, you know, I think the rest of their products look amazing as well. I was kind of just floored by their base products. So I went to town on those. I'm sure I will be more ordering more from the eyes and lips as well. But really, really love that. And I think they have it's supposedly the foundation is like a second skin, so very lightweight, but a shade for everyone, exciting. Which is
that is, it is, again, it's the thing, is it, you think of highlight and you immediately just think of a sexy robot, but that blinding silver shiny top of the cheek, end of the nose, and it's by and large a more light skin tone that you imagine it on. And I just think that's crazy that you wouldn't have been able to get a highlight in your skin tone. It's
well, and to have the depth that you need, I think that's the thing, because if it's not deep enough, it will just look ashy just and it will just
on top, and it'll just sit on top of your skin. It won't look
exactly.
Like, it's very easy for me, and I frequently can't find shades in my skin tone because I am very pale.
Yeah,
whatever, it's still 1,000 times harder if you're on the other end of the spectrum.
Yes,
it's not hard for me to find a foundation, not a foundation, I mean a highlight just looks like it's my skin but more expensive. But yeah, if you're looking at the other end, that's awesome to know that it is out there.
And I think there was like six or so, could have been eight. I know there was definitely six. But again, the highlight creams were just really, really beautiful, really, really nice spectrum of shades.
Oh, it looks nice.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
I want to touch on hair care. So one thing I do want to say before we do this, obviously we can sing the praises of makeup and skincare until the end of the earth. One thing we can't talk about is having natural hair, because we don't have natural hair. So I think what we will do in future is try and get an expert on to
definitely
talk about that, because that is something I'm curious about and would love to learn more about, but
definitely
personally cannot speak to. But one Black-owned brand that I personally do use and personally have loved, because it is for all kinds of hair, is Briogeo, which is so good. They're in Sephora here. They're actually in lots of places here, but I first came across them in Sephora with the Don't Despair Repair line.
Yeah.
Because if you are bleached, obviously I am bleached, kind of, because like, I'm more root than bleached right now. But I have to obviously deep condition quite a lot to keep my bleach in order. And when I was very, very blonde last year, I was using the Don't Despair Repair every once a month or so as a deep condition. And it's so lovely. And I just really enjoy that brand. It's really fun. They do the mask in the squeezy bear. You can get the mask. You can either get it in its regular tub or you can get it in the shape of a squeezy bear.
So you were sold straight away.
Do you know what I mean? It didn't take much. And it smells like honey, and I don't even like the smell of honey, but it's in the shape of a squeezy bear. And that was all it took. I literally was holding it. I bought it at the Sephora at Disneyland. What a child. I'm such a child. And I was like, oh my God, look at this. And my friend was like, oh, that's cute. And then I was an adult, and I did check that it was the same price per milliliter for the squeezy bear as it was for the regular one. And it was, which was actually very impressive, because most brands would jack up the price, put it in a squeezy bear. And then she was like, but you don't like the smell of honey. And I'm like, but look at it.
But it's a squeezy bear.
I don't know if I mentioned it, but it was a fucking squeezy bear. It was so amazing. But I just really, really like their brand. I really like the products. They're fun. They are accessible.
I've heard great things about their hair brand.
I'm
notoriously lazy with my hair, full stop. So shampoo and conditioner as much as it gets with
me. I'm washing my hair like once a week at the moment, and things are getting rough. My hairdresser, both my colorist and my stylist, both reached out recently to say they are getting ready to come back to work, and obviously they've seen
exciting times
because they were very keen for me to come in. And I don't blame them, but they will be waiting because I'm not going anywhere. But yeah, Briogeo, just like a really, really nice brand that covers everyone and is awesome. So I would 100% wholeheartedly throw my weight behind them.
Yes, definitely. So a sunscreen that, so kind of verging into like skincare, I still have more makeup because I'm not going to lie, that is always what excites me the most. There is a brand called Black Girl Sunscreen. I think this is such a great idea. And as far as I know, I think it's one of the only products they make, or that within like a very, very small edited line, which you guys know I love. I love it when like someone does like just one or two.
We love a
really
curation.
Well.
We love it.
We love it. I love an edit. So Black Girl Sunscreen, it's around $20, I think, if I remember correctly. And it is, obviously, as the name would suggest, purposely intended for black-skinned women, men. And it is just so fabulous because there is zero white cast. And I think as well, you know, they really kind of focus on education on their website. And they were like, a lot of people, when they have a darker skin tone, kind of feel like there's a myth that they don't need sunscreen, which is totally not true. And I think as well, they've kind of really catered to the fact that making something that works under makeup beautifully, that is going to, you know, complement your skin tone. It's not going to show up at all. It's a nice big bottle as well, so it is going to last you, you know, a good time. So that was something I wanted to highlight as well, because I think that's a really important part of skincare. Like, if you're not really doing much with your skincare, at the very least do SPF. I think SPF is so important. And if before that's something that's put you off, if you felt like, you know, that's something that brands haven't catered to, and you feel like, no, they just all leave me ashy, they leave me with like a grey cast, try this, because it is perfection.
Yeah, that's awesome. There's a lot of myths about black skincare, black beauty,
completely,
which, you know, the industry has just been perpetrating for so long, and we see this all the time at very much at the top end. When I was looking at the brands that are available, and I was like, oh my god, Iman Cosmetics has been around for basically ever, and it's in drugstores, and god bless Iman for just being wonderful in general.
Her stuff's amazing.
There's this myth that black women don't want to buy. What a ridiculous idea that they wouldn't want to buy makeup.
And I think, was it Sir John?
They wouldn't want to buy high end.
Yeah.
It's the completely mad thing to me.
Yeah. But, and how infuriating to be told that. It must be so infuriating.
Rude.
And I think as well, something that was brought up to me by some of my people I interact with on social media, and I was lucky enough to, I kind of watched an amazing like town hall live webinar with Sir John. It's with Danessa Myricks. Who else is on there? Sam Fiennes, lots of amazing black artists who some are kind of more known today, some kind of from like 80s, 70s, when kind of makeup was first becoming like a big career. And they really talked about something that really kind of sat with me. And I still, when you talk about this, Lindsay, as well, I'm reminded that they said that the biggest thing for them is that how much trauma it's brought up, especially when they think about back to their mums buying makeup like 10, 20 years ago. And it was always on the bottom shelf, like black makeup, if it did exist, was on the bottom shelf. So I can only imagine how much trauma, you know, this is regurgitating as well. And I think that's why, you know, I can say with my hand on my heart, I vow to do everything I can to make sure no one has to feel that again. And I'm so sorry you've had to feel that, because, you know, brands do have to do better. And I think, those are the kind of subtle nuances of racism and prejudice, where, you know, and systemic racism, where it's unless you are educated, you're not looking for it. And that's what's so sad. So I just wanted to touch on that, something that I really, really feel for anyone who, you know, has experienced that, or you feel like that's something that, you know, you've heard your mother talk about, or your grandma. And, you know, even as a makeup artist, I find it amazing how many people still don't want to learn color theory or don't want to learn how to mix, because I do think that's your responsibility, that whoever sits in your chair, you should be able to make them feel amazing.
And it's not just a case of it just not being there, because people, you know, you'd be like, well, it is there, but you just have to go look for it. It's like, well, you shouldn't have to go look for it. I don't have to go and look for it. You don't have to go and look for
it. That's it. It's a quality. Where is the quality?
And when I did the episode with Danielle Radford, and we had Danielle on to talk about her experiences buying makeup and finding makeup, and it's not just the practice of buying makeup, it's also then what that means to the world at large. It's the idea of what a professional woman looks like, is a put-together woman who is polished, who has straight hair, who is wearing makeup, but, you know, not too much makeup. And this, again, is the patriarchal racist system.
Yeah.
We use a lot of our favourite words. Down with white supremacy, down with the patriarchy. But it's this idea that we've put together of what a professional woman looks like, and you don't in your head immediately see a black woman with natural hair, like, because we've been told that's not what a professional woman is. But then how can you expect a black woman to meet those standards that you have created for her when the products are not being made for her?
And then you're
telling her she doesn't want them in the first place.
It's beyond insulting. And I think, you know, the idea of the trauma it's caused just really breaks my heart. And that's something is so upsetting. And, you know, seeing these brands, like, who, you know, like we said, Lindsay, they were always there. We just didn't see them. And I also asked myself, you know, what is that on my part, but also what is that on the marketing part? Like you said, it's such a huge thing to unpack that it's almost like too much for one episode. It's kind of like, you know,
it really is.
It's almost like a separate part. I said to one of a subscriber who I was chatting with about it, she was a young black woman and said, I was like, you should honestly start a podcast about this, because there's so many episodes that could be spoken about this. And I think even, you know,
there are podcasts out there about Black Beauty, and we will link to them below.
We'll be sharing our favorite creators as well.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's important. That's, you know, it's, we can add our voices to the chorus to celebrate stuff, but we can't tell you what it feels like or what it is.
And
help everyone find good stuff. That's what we're doing right now.
We can help you find good stuff. And I think, again, you know, there is a statement that I know it's been said so many times, but I think it rings so, so true, which is, I understand I'll never understand, but we stand with you, you know, and this is like the tiniest bit of a huge apology that, you know, we can make. And,
It's crazy that it takes, like, I just mentioned it, but again, it stands to be mentioned again. And today isn't just about brands you might not have heard of, but just celebrating brands that are great, like Pat McGrath. It took Pat McGrath, one of the world's most powerful and influential makeup artists, to make a luxury brand that white women would accept and that was also made for black women. It's like, that is bonkers. But Pat's killing it, smashing it, magical products. Thank you, Pat. Yeah. The idea that that didn't exist before, the idea that we had to have Rihanna come in and say, no, this isn't good enough, let's do better. It's like, Rihanna's a musician. Like, Rihanna has many things, obviously. It's incredible. But it shouldn't take a celebrity to come in and to get a company like Kendo. That's the thing, obviously, like, I think people think of Fenty and they obviously think of Rihanna, but then Fenty is owned by Kendo, which is part of Sephora, which is part of LVMH group. It's part of a giant, massive, multi-billion dollar corporation. Rihanna herself is not everything behind Fenty. She is the creator and the creative director, and she owns part of it, I'm sure, but the business of it is like a much bigger business. But it shouldn't take Fenty, shouldn't take Rihanna to say, can everybody have a foundation, please?
Yes, and I think the whole term, you know, we've said it before as well, you know, that term coined of, like, you know, post-Fenty world. It's like, you know, the fact it took one brand that is synonymous with changing the industry. And I think to the point where, as well, it's important that brands don't go down that route of, like, tokenism of just making 60 shades, but they're still all predominantly white, you know, also, we've seen it kind of play out in different ways where some brands are really taking it on board. And we've spoken about this before, when you are an indie brand, or you're starting out, you know, creating a mass shade range is a really expensive investment. However, what I find staggering is brands, some of which we've talked about today, able to have 51 shades and are far smaller than some of the other more, in inverted commas, luxury brands, you know, the ones that are owned by huge corporations, are still giving us 12 shades, still giving us 10 shades, whatever. So I think there's so many lessons, and, you know, they can do better.
That's what you've got to think, is ultimately you've got to look at it. Like how I said, when I started, I would look at certain brands and say, oh, that's not for me, and I would move on. And it didn't because there were 10, for every one brand that wasn't for me, there were 100 that are. But imagine it the other way around, where it's like, for every 100 brands that aren't for you, maybe there's one that is. And I just, like, imagine walking up to a counter, like, I love the La Mer foundations, but the La Mer foundation range is like insane. And ultimately, I'm not saying this specifically about La Mer, they're an example I'm using, but imagine walking up to that counter and not seeing yourself represented there. And basically what they're saying then is, this is not for you.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, no, we're not having, this is not for you.
Well, and having to accept that, I think that again, it comes back to this idea of, like, trauma as well. It's like, to have to accept that and just walk out and be like, oh, so that's the end of that then. There's nothing, you know, that must be so, I can only imagine, infuriating, disheartening, upsetting.
And it's not just beauty. Like, that's the thing. Like, we're talking about beauty today. I obviously work across other industries. I'm an author. So in publishing, we're having a huge reckoning as well, where this is being dealt with. And I think about same, like, things I could have done better. Like, I could have demanded have more diversity on panels that I've been on. I could have refused to do stuff unless that was addressed. And I didn't, because I didn't want to rock the boat, because I didn't want to be a difficult woman, you know? And that's the other thing. It's like, we're not saying you haven't had your own fights to fight and you haven't been doing other stuff. But it's like, from now on, we all need to fight all the fights and realize that all the fights are all our fights. Like, there's not one thing that's your thing to be responsible for. It's like, we all need to be responsible for all of the things. Yes. And that's something I'm going to try and change in that industry. And even in wrestling, like I run a wrestling podcast, and wrestling, it's a huge issue. And I'm seeing so many people come out and say, well, right, I'm not going to perform at shows now if they don't have a 50%, you know, diversity, if they don't have representation across the whole roster. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. Like, we are actually seeing stuff happen, which is why it's so important that we have this conversation today. So that we can all, like, vote with our wallets, go and vote with your money, like, spend your money, make changes.
And I think if, you know, you feel like, oh, well, I don't know who owns what, or I don't, you know, understand the beauty industry, there are so many resources to go learn about it. And I think if anything, the Black Lives Matter movement has taught, hopefully, the majority of people is that, you know, it is up to all of us as individuals to be able to create lasting change, because it is educating yourself, it's having conversations, it's reading, learning, you know, and also being willing to be uncomfortable and say, yeah, I have a part in this, you know. I think when you can own up to that, then you can move forward.
Even in deciding to make this episode, I had, like, a real conversation with myself where I was like, is it my responsibility to speak for these brands and to speak for these people? Because it's, they're entirely capable and responsible and able to speak for themselves, but also it is my responsibility to, I'm supposed to be a journalist that shares information about products I love. And I was like, well, I missed out a whole chunk of the market out of whether it was laziness because it didn't come to, directly to me, or because I was wantonly ignoring stuff because of prejudices and biases that I didn't know I even had, because I thought I was one of the good ones, you know? It's like, person. And it's like, you can be a good person.
Well, and I guess it comes back to this,
be a better person.
And I think it comes back to this idea of, like, you know, we hopefully, like I said, more of us have a better understanding now of the idea of being anti-racist as opposed to not racist. Yes. Because I think for me, that's been such a big takeaway, that it's not enough just to say, I'm not racist. You know, you, there's actually kind of like, I think more and more companies are having to put kind of pledges within their websites, actually understand what that means to them and how they're making sure that is something that's a core value of their company. Yeah. So,
and don't put it on... I quote Danielle directly. I'm not like, massively great Danielle this episode, because like we've been talking about this a lot lately. But like she said this on Tights and Fights, is like, please don't expect your one black friend to fix this for you. It's like, it's not
100%. It's our mess. It's like,
to
educate white people's mess.
Like, it would be like me calling up Danielle and saying, like, how should I do this? What should I do? I'm like, no, she's already hurting and she's already suffered for like all this time. And now I'm going to expect. It's just such a shitty thing that people have done for so long. It's like, well, tell me how I should feel. Tell me how to fix it. It's like, no, go away and educate yourself. Tell you how to fix it.
And, like, and you know,
if you fucked up your maths exam, you wouldn't, you know what I mean? Like, you would have to go and fix your maths exam. Like, you wouldn't just go and ask Mr. Math to be like, do it for me. It's like, no, you have to go away and learn how to do it. Like,
well, and I think that's part of the white, that is, as I see it, that's part of the white privilege element of it, that it's like, this is a white problem that we've created, so we need to fix it. It's not up to black people to fix this. Like, you know, it, you know, I'm still devastated that in 2020 people having to protest for equal rights, which, you know, people and, you know, if you're someone listening to this and you're like, okay, I'm just here for beauty, I, you know, and you feel like, you know, to quote some that I've heard, you know, say they're tired of it, you know, ask yourself why that is. Because I think if you are one of those people that you genuinely feel like, I don't want to hear about this anymore, I, you know, just want to hear for beauty, da da da, ask yourself why that is. And, you know, unpack that a little bit. Be willing to get uncomfortable and just say, you know, what is it that, you know, you desperately need to get back to normal, that you don't want to face what's going on?
I've had that a lot. I've been hearing that a lot. It's like, I've had a lot on Instagram. I'm like, I came here to look at your cats.
Yeah, and I've had it too. And
I don't like you shoving this down my throat. I'm like, well, then you're very, very welcome
to leave.
But this is something I morally have to do for myself, just to live with myself.
And it's funny because
and if you don't want to do that with me, then ta-ta. You know, I don't know a nicer way of putting it. That...
No, well, and I think it's, you know, there's definitely that feeling of, someone said it really well the other day. I can't remember who it was now, but someone said to me, you know, when people complain about social media being a place for escapism, and yes, predominantly for most of us, hopefully it is escapism. It's, you know, light relief from things that are happening in the world. But this isn't political. This is human rights. Like, this is beyond anything. We've talked before, you know, whether it is your political views or you know, whatever it is you want to talk about. Like, to me, this isn't politics. This is human rights.
Yeah, it's not left or right or Brexit.
Yeah, there's no side. It's like, no, there's only the right way. Like,
are we keeping humans alive or are we not?
Like, literally,
it's literally
yeah.
that. And I know this is a beauty right podcast. Thing.
Yes.
But it trickles down into everything. It really, yeah. really does. It's yeah. from the worst atrocities that we have seen happen, that I'm not yeah. going to talk about, but that yeah. we've seen happen over the last few weeks. We've seen what is the worst that can happen. And it goes yeah. all the way down to how you feel when you go to buy a lipstick. Like, it really, yeah. really does. And if you yeah. can't understand that it is that whole spectrum of human emotion and that it's connected, then, like, you maybe need to have a little think about yourself.
Yeah.
And me included. Like we said, that's the thing, is like, we have a choice about when we talk. We had a choice about whether or not to make this episode.
Yeah.
We had a choice about whether or not to spend a couple of hours researching brands. We had a choice to do these things.
Yeah.
The fact that other people do not have that choice is why things need to change.
Yeah, definitely.
That's my rant.
Yeah.
It's really hard. I mean, we've been talking about this a lot the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And knowing when it's a good idea. I mean, it's ultimately always a good idea to speak up. But yeah. it's knowing how, and knowing in what forum, and knowing how you are being
Completely.
An ally and not being just shouting and saying,
yes.
I'm doing the right thing. And ultimately, yeah. there'll always be someone that disagrees with.
Completely. You know, and I went to another workshop for... one of, like, I'm very interested in learning about business. That's something I've kind of been learning a lot over this kind of time working from home with COVID. And I went to a Black business coach ran like workshop where they basically were sort of saying, you know, if your business, you know, if you aren't inclusive, like, think about why that is. And, you know, think about the books you've read, look about the brands you buy. Like, if they're predominantly like 80 to 90% white, then, you know, that's all you've ever known. And I think yeah. sometimes as well, privilege or what you're learning, if you're not questioning where you're learning from or where you're buying from, and this is like a wake-up call to me as well, I'm yeah. saying it, you know, to be, I'm just as complicit, but I think when you know as well, then you can make change. And one thing they said that was, I really stuck with me, that in the past I can look at times I haven't spoke about things, which I definitely could have, and felt, oh, it's not my place, so I don't want to, like you say, be difficult, whatever, which is partly privilege. You know, I think one thing they said, like, that very thing of not talking up is not speaking up is what hurts more people and stops progress.
Yeah.
But also they were like, to the people saying they're worried they're gonna say it wrong or do it wrong, they were like, you will fuck up.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think if you're someone listening to this where you're like, I want to learn more, I want to be more educated, I want to understand what's going on, but I'm scared I'll say the wrong thing, like, you might, but then you can change it and make it better. Like, I know, yeah. even with this podcast, like, when I make a video on Instagram talking about what's happening in the minute, I still feel like, oh my goodness, there's fear in me, you know, doing more harm than good, but I know my intention is good. And I also trust that my audience will correct me, like, that
yeah.
people will tell me, and all I can do is, you just need to put your hands up, say sorry,
yeah, totally.
And then, you know, take it on board and make it better.
And no one is a fixed object. Like, there is always
yeah.
room for growth and change.
Yeah.
And, you know, something cancel culture is like a very real thing, but it's like,
yeah.
you could have said the dumbest, stupidest thing when you were 14. And as long as you are open to knowing why it was wrong and changing
yeah.
and growing, and we're all changing and growing all the time, and things that were okay aren't okay. And I'm seeing so much hand-wringing over, like, oh, you can't make a joke these days. It's like, well, you can absolutely make a joke, but when you make that joke, if someone's upset
yeah.
by that joke, can you think why that might be, and then
yeah.
wonder if perhaps that joke was funny in the first place?
Yeah.
And that's very true. And I say that as someone who has spent their entire life hiding behind jokes. And
yeah.
oh, actually, maybe that word or that term or that
yeah.
idea or that concept actually never was that funny.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. We're just asking, the human race is asking the rest
yeah.
of the human race to, like, have a little think about whether you would like it, you know.
Definitely.
Like, ultimately it all comes back to that, doesn't it? It's like,
yeah.
and this, you know, by this episode, all we're doing is saying, here is some cool stuff that if you support these brands, you're supporting people that deserve your support.
Yeah.
And they haven't been getting a fair shake because they haven't
Definitely.
Had the same opportunities as other brands. So
Definitely.
That went dead deep. when I was literally just about to ask you about Juvia's Place.
Sorry, no, next on my list was Juvia's Place.
I feel like we need to wrap up shortly, so let's like celebrate with
Juvia's Place. Yes, we will celebrate with Juvia's Place. Yes, and we can always, we can post more on the Instagram of like other brands we're finding as we go along, and I've got a few here we probably have time.
We've got so many, I've got so many more, and like a bunch of indie brands on their way that I really want to share with you all, so we're going to keep posting stuff. And we'll definitely talk about some stuff on the live when we've had a chance to play more. But Juvia's Place, it's so good.
Yes, Juvia's Place, again, fabulous for eyeshadows. And again, a really affordable price point. And really am I right in thinking Juvia's Place is in Ulta, I believe?
It is in Ulta, yes.
Yes.
That's where I got the foundation ever ago.
And I will say at the minute, definitely check them out online because they're having loads of deals at the minute. I think their loose powder was like $7 from 14 or something the other day. They've had quite a few like special offers on, and they also sell bundles of their eyeshadow palettes.
Yes.
So if like me, you're seeing all the eyeshadows and going, well, I don't just want one, I want four. it is quite easy to like do bundles, which I really, really like. And they have their concealer range looks amazing. I think I ordered first the eyeshadows, which haven't yet arrived, but then I panicked and was like, oh no, I want the concealers now as well. So then I went back and ordered the concealers. So
eyeshadows are mental. They are so good.
So pigmented.
There's such a beautiful, gorgeous array of colors. And I think they're really well curated into palettes. There's like, there is a, she says again, inverted commas, there's nude range that sort of like 7K naked-esque nude range that everyone does. But then everything's also grouped into color groups, so like corals and blues and teals, and everything separately broken out, which I think is gorgeous and manageable. It's not like, there are big palettes, but like there's also like 6 pan smaller, more manageable palettes, which I love. The foundation is so high coverage. It is, not messing about. It is so good.
I like this squeezy tube.
Squeezy tube. It's very portable for tour, which isn't happening, but that's a different conversation for a different day. But yeah, I like to do it in a very, a really nicely moisturized face with, usually I'll use the Bobbi Brown Vitamin Enriched Face Paste to get that really dewy and buff it in. Because it's, even for me, it is like properly full coverage.
Coverage,
but that's amazing because you can buff out when it's full coverage. It's easier, you know, it's just as easy to buff out as it is to build. And it's long lasting. I really, really like it. It's just such a good brand. Like, it's so affordable.
I think that's the thing. Quality, it's quality that's affordable. So if you're looking for something,
I feel like if the prices were double, you would, it's almost like you would take it more seriously. That's, and again, that's market, that's fucked up marketing. Like,
yes, that's, I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
That you have to spend a lot of money for something to
get quality.
That's literally what capitalism has convinced us of for all.
Well, and I know a lot of,
we would take it so much more seriously. It's so great.
Yeah. No, I know a lot of makeup artists that are huge fans of the eyeshadow palette. So I know that like makeup artists approved as well. So very excited to get my hands on those. And yeah, we'll keep you posted on all the other things that we're trying and
definitely
report back.
We're very excited. And the next time you hear from us, it will be our live episode, which can really only go terribly wrong.
I mean, it's probably going to involve alcohol, I'm not going to lie. Although, is it daytime for us?
We'll be recording at noon, but that does feel like mimosa o'clock.
Well, it's never stopped me before, Lindsay.
Jeff came home from the supermarket at 8 o'clock this morning and he was like, I bought you a present. And I thought it was going to be like a scone or something. And it was a can of rosé. I was like, am I supposed to do this now? And he was like, well, no. And I'm like, it does feel like a drinking
with judgment.
Yeah, it feels like a drinking at breakfast kind of a time. So I don't really see what the issue is.
I think that's how I would sum up COVID.
Drinking at breakfast, the name of my next novel.
Yes.
But you never know.
Yes.
But no, this was so nice to do.
It was lovely,
And have a proper chat and like talk about some awesome stuff. And we'll be doing it again on our live, which is going to be very exciting.
Yes. Join us.
Yeah, with this episode, we'll be going out Tuesday. So if it's still Tuesday or Wednesday of June, I don't know what day.
Oh, no, full coverage maths.
16th or 17th, then you've still got time to join us because the episode, the live episode is recording on the 18th of June. If you're listening to this after the 18th of June, sorry.
You might have missed it.
Go and listen to it on the old Podwire, wherever you get your pods. But that's going to be interesting. Bear with us.
Yeah. And let us know your highlight of the week. If you've been trying out any, especially like indie, independent and black owned beauty brands, we'd love to know your highlights as well.
Yes, absolutely. Let's share that.
Enable us.
It's important. And we do love a good enable.
We do love a good enable.
Yeah. But with that, I think it's time to wrap up.
It's time.
It's been very lovely. And yeah, we're still technically on hiatus.
Yeah, it's a funny old time. It's nice to get back podding here and there. We were saying like it's hard, both still working on projects behind the scenes as well, but then you got to have a pod in your life sometimes.
Got to have a pod in your life.
Podded
up the life. It doesn't work. But you see where I was going with that.
I could see exactly where you were going and I'm like, we still need a jingle. If anyone wants to make us a jingle, I feel like...
I mean, we're receptive to
we're open.
Amazing. Right, well, thank you very much, Pod Fam, and thank you for listening all this way through, if you made it through 10 points to your house. And we will speak to you soon. Bye.
Take care, guys.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.